It's time for One Up, baby.
On Culture Shift.
Joining me live in studio is WDET's Nate Bender, where we talk about some of the biggest news happening in the world of streaming and gaming and so much more. Nate, welcome back to Culture Shift.
Thanks, Amanda. Glad to be here. And I'm excited this week because we've got a super special guest coming up. There is a performance coming to the DSO at the end of June that I think all video game fans are going to want to check out, and maybe even those that aren't fans of video game music. But first, let's update you with the latest that's been going on. The biggest story is this $68.7 billion merger between Microsoft and Activision Blizzard. They've been working at trying to get this done for more than a year. Well, the Federal Trade Commission in the U.S. District Court of Northern California has placed a restraining order and started the process for a preliminary injunction against both Microsoft and Activision Blizzard. This effectively blocks the merger from going through until the FTC's request for an injunction is considered. Microsoft and Activision Blizzard are not permitted to complete the acquisition until the fifth business day after the ruling has happened. So hearings for the preliminary injunction have been requested to be held on either June 22nd or 23rd. If the acquisition is not finalized by June 18th or an extension is agreed upon, Microsoft will need to pay Activision Blizzard $3 billion for abandoning the deal.
I'm never going to wrap my mind around that $70 billion merger.
Yeah. It is. It's pretty wild. And now the FTC has stepped in to prevent this from moving forward. They've also been blocked in the UK as well. Also, last week we saw the Summer Games Fest, and I just wanted to highlight a couple of things. Most of the big highlights, I think, went down at Sony's press conference a couple of weeks earlier, but some pretty cool games being shown off, including a brand new Prince of Persia game that's going back to their side-scrolling roots. Also, Sands of Time making a return. So if you're a big Prince of Persia fan, you might want to check that out. Hellblade 2, Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice was a really, really fascinating indie game that came out about 5 or 6 years ago that dealt a lot with mental illness. So we're going to see a sequel to the award-winning Hellblade. That is coming out in 2024. Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. This is pretty cool because you're going to be getting a companion played by Idris Elba. So yeah, that's really, really cool. September 26th. And of course, Cyberpunk has had a big sort of comeback story as a game that released in a terrible state and really is, you know, this day looking really, really good. And also, we got the first trailer for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. This is the next chapter in the Final Fantasy VII Remake trilogy, I think is where that stands at the moment. The release date for that looking early 2024. Looks beautiful. Super exciting. But before we get to that, we've also got the release of Final Fantasy XVI happening in just a few short weeks. A lot of discourse happening right now around Final Fantasy 16, and specifically because a demo was put out earlier in the week in conjunction with Summer Games Fest. People have some opinions about this demo.
Yeah, Nate, I sent you a tweet because I've been seeing a blowout on my timeline, and I don't even follow a lot of video game stuff, but fans of Final Fantasy coming out and saying, this is not a Final Fantasy game, you guys.
Okay.
Just get off the branding, okay?
So this is a debate that happens every single time a Final Fantasy game comes out. Every single time.
Okay.
Does it meet the bar? Does it meet the standard of what fans consider a Final Fantasy game to be?
Which game is the standard, though, in the Final Fantasy franchise? We're talking about dozens of games here over 20 years.
You know, a lot of people will say that Final Fantasy X was the last true Final Fantasy game. That in reality, that was the last turn-based Final Fantasy game, so that usually has some part of the definition in there. But really, I sat down and I played this demo last night, and I have to say, the combat is fluid and fun. The story is dense. It feels like Game of Thrones level. And if you're used to playing Final Fantasy, a lot of times that feels just like anime. So it's, I think what they've presented with this demo is really, really exciting. And I definitely think it meets the bar to be considered a Final Fantasy game.
I know we got a cool interview to get into in a moment, but can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
Well, I guess not a secret anymore. That Final Fantasy is the only game I've ever finished.
Really?
To the end, yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. And those are not small games either. That is a hefty, hefty commitment. So, but you know, one of the things that Final Fantasy fans nearly universally agree upon is that the music of Final Fantasy is exceptional. So I wanted to highlight an upcoming performance coming to the DSO on June 29th called Distant Worlds. Distant Worlds is a touring show that performs the music of Final Fantasy with a full orchestra. You know, the last time that Distant Worlds was here was actually 13 years ago in 2010. So they can make, you know, big, big tracks of time, you know, before they come back to a city. So we're going to speak to the conductor of Distant Worlds, Arnie Roth, here in just a moment. But before we get to that, I just, for just a real quick second, I really want to encourage Final Fantasy fans and even just fans of fantastic music to check out Distant Worlds.
Joining us now is the conductor and music director for Distant Worlds, the traveling show that performs the music of Final Fantasy with a full orchestra, which is coming to the DSO on Thursday, June 29th. Arnie Roth, welcome to the One Update on Culture Shift.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, thank you so much for some of your time today. So what is the biggest challenge when adapting video game music to play for an, or to play with an orchestra, right? Like, I think people tend to think of video game music as, you know, beeps and boops and sort of this one type of thing. What does it take to get that ready for an orchestra to adapt?
So there's a wide range of, what would be the word, a wide range of states of development that various video games use. You could go all the way back to the beginning of the Final Fantasy 1 through 6, 7 even, that were just using 8-bit computer-generated sounds, not even, you know, it's a little chip that had three or four voices available in it. And look at what Nobuo Uematsu did with that and marvel at it, but the reality is that needed a tremendous amount of adaptation to move it onto the concert hall stage. Whereas starting with Final Fantasy VIII all the way through the present and many other video games, they have 16-bit, they're recording full audio. And those that their style warrants it, they're using full orchestrations as well with either orchestra, rock band, whatever it might be. But that's recorded for the game. The main difference there is that there's shorter bits of music. They're not full concert arrangements. They might be 90 seconds long and in a loop. They might be maybe a little longer for a main anthem, you know, or a main statement. So we're adapting those themes to move them into a full concert length. I can speak from the standpoint of Distant Worlds. We're kind of a unique situation. We present all the Final Fantasy music as close to the way they heard it in the original as possible. That means that we're using individual songs, and there are thousands of them, of course, in the Final Fantasy series. So by using individual songs, that means that our average length might be anywhere from 3 minutes to 5 or 6 minutes, some of them longer, some of them on the shorter side, or medleys that use several different themes over an 8-10 minute period. And Distant Worlds tries to emulate the style of that early orchestration and arrangement all the way through Final Fantasy 15, and now 16 is coming out. in just another week or so?
Yeah, just another couple of weeks, right before the performance. And you mentioned Nobuo Uematsu and his amazing work throughout the entirety of the Final Fantasy series. Is there something about the Final Fantasy series specifically, because I know you've also worked with other video game music as well, that specifically kind of lends itself to be played by an orchestra?
Well, yes. I mean, part of that is the style that Nobuo established from the beginning. We like to say, with Nobuo Uematsu, everything is melody and structure first. That's the first thing that happens. You know, he didn't have a strict classical upbringing, but it's well publicized. His champions are classic rock like Elton John, you know, the Beatles, things that were very strong melody and structure. And his classical influences, Tchaikovsky, he lists, Prokofiev, all Brahms, all the big melody writers, right? And he is a romantic, a sentimentalist. I mean, if you listen to any of his music, that thread is going through there. There's great battle medleys and themes, but there's very touching, intimate episodes. And some of his most famous things are, his most famous compositions are based in that style, like Aerith's theme, Xanarkand. These are things that people are crying over still to this day when we play it live. So the fact that he was a composer that started with a great melody and structure is the reason why it's easier to orchestrate that stuff for the concert stage.
We're currently speaking with Arnie Roth, the conductor for Distant Worlds, coming to the DSO on June 29th. Tickets are available right now at DSO.org. Arnie, you mentioned just a moment ago the depth of the music in Final Fantasy, literally thousands of songs to choose from. So how do you narrow it down for which songs you want to perform for Distant Worlds?
Right. I mean, that's always a difficult question, actually. So here's the parameters. Here's the rules with all that. The original guideline with Distant Worlds was that our understanding with both Nobu and Square Enix was that we wanted to try to represent as much of the series as we could within each concert. So it wasn't originally to be focused on one game or several games, but, you know, a wide swath of the series. So I have that factor. I have the other factor is, how great of an orchestra do we have? How great of a chorus do we have? Do we have any soloists with us? All these are factors with all these things. So, and what did we perform the last time we were in that city? Or have we ever been to that city or not? What are the new releases from Square Enix and on Final Fantasy series? All these kind of get into a big pot and we try to decide the best course of action for that. But to say that, we're also doing a new medley that we were just featuring during 35th anniversary, which is all the great battle medleys, battle themes from Final Fantasy 1 through 6 that Nobuo Uematsu himself put together for the 35th anniversary concerts. So we're bringing that to Detroit. We're bringing some Final Fantasy 7 remake to Detroit as well. We're able to play all that stuff. It falls under the banner of Distant Worlds. So what's fun is, as Distant Worlds, now we're 15 years, going on 16 years in existence and more, they're allowing us, Square Enix is allowing us to branch out a little bit more, to think a little bit more broadly about our programming. We will now start doing concerts that feature concentrations of various games. You may see in the future here, for instance, an all Nobu Distant Worlds, or a concentration of 7, 8, 9, you know, or a concentration of 14 being a very big part of it. And even 16, as it comes out, we're talking to them about ways we can feature that as well. All of those things go into the decision making, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So you had just mentioned Distant Worlds cresting 16 years of performing Final Fantasy music around the globe. In that time, what has surprised you the most about performing music from a video game?
Certainly the audiences are the greatest surprise. Initially, it was totally amazed at the quality of the orchestrations, the arrangements, and the music compositions themselves. I mean, that just blew me away. I was not, you know, a gamer in particular, but they rank right up there with the best orchestra classical concerts. I've always said that, you know, forward-thinking music directors of orchestras, if they wanted to bring in young video game players, aficionados of video game music, all they have to do is start adding some of the best scores to one of their regular or several of their regular classical subscription concerts. I mean, you could have a Carmina Burana and put One Winged Angel right next to it, and you would immediately have a tremendous amount of fans wanting to hear that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because, you know, one of the things about Distant Worlds that struck me when I first saw it, of course, I am a video game fan, but, you know, I'm also a classical music fan. And, you know, just how the music is presented is, you're right in line with some of the best orchestra and symphonic concerts that that I've been to myself. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I would love to see some non-video game fans come out and discover the wonderful depth of music that exists in the Final Fantasy world. Arnie, it has been a pleasure talking to you. I can't wait to see the performance. Again, June 29th at Orchestra Hall. Tickets are available at DSO. Arnie Roth, the conductor of Distant Worlds, our guest here on WDET's One Update. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Nate, so fun talking to Arnie Roth there. I love what he was saying about how you can put some of the best symphonies right up against music from, you know, contemporary video games, and the quality is similar. It's right there.
And you can hear it. The proof is in the pudding. You hear it behind us right now. This is Saber's Edge from the most recent Distant Worlds album. Again, June 29th, going to be a great performance out there at the Detroit Symphony Orchestra.
All right, Nate, what are you playing this week?
I'm playing the Final Fantasy 16 demo. That's what I'm playing and enjoying it immensely, but I'm also still working my way through the Metal Gear Solid series. About once every, you know, 5 years, I go through the entire series. I'm at Peace Walker right now and more than halfway through it.
Like a good book series.
It is.
Or a
it's exactly,
show or something.
Exactly
yeah.
The same. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Nate. You can check out Nate Has a Daily Gaming News podcast if you have an insatiable need to know what's going on in the world of video gaming. Let's Play is the name of it. Find it wherever you get your podcast. WDET.org, the place to find the latest episodes of Culture Shift as well. And check out our playlist. That is the show you are listening to here live on 101.9 WDET. We're Detroit's NPR station. And coming up next, Sam Bobian has a brand new Sam's Jams for us. He's going to be digging into some great music, funk music from the 1970s.